Anybody think of somebody that had a needle in the book of the Acts that did good works? Think her name was Dorcas. Remember? And they looked at all the things that she had made. Good works are the pattern of life after I have been saved. The good works are that which is manifest. We've had that word that this one belongs to me. I can see it in two ways. I can see it from the testimony that they bear with their lips. But it's not only a testimony that's born with the lips. It's a life that is lived. It is a life that is lived here that others, we often say, sometimes the only Bible many people will ever see is you and I as we live here for Christ. So it's a good question. Do others have something they want to add to it?
I just say for help and not here in the study, but the book of James takes up this question. And it gives to us the reality of faith in a practical walk that honors Christ. And so it's the proof of that faith in my walk. And this is, read James and it'll be helpful.
John, you repeat that statement. I want you guys to write that down, just what you just said.
I don't remember what I did. James is the book that takes up the practical walk of the reality of faith in my life.
So it's a practical walk. Those works are the practical fruit of the reality in my life.
Yeah, I think we should just read those verses because young people are writing them down. James chapter 2, and I'll just give you two verses, 17 and 18. And it says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so it's important to understand the distinction between what we're talking about in Romans, which is man cannot do anything, any works of himself, that is going to have God weigh those as good enough to be saved by, right? And that's why Brother Chuck read verse 21. It is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Belief is not a work. It is a faith in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now after being saved, someone is going to say, well, you say you belong to this new master. You say you belong to this Christ. Well, I still see you misbehaving and cursing and all. Well, I need to see that there is a new life, a new walk, and new works. That gives the outward display of what has taken place in my life. They see a life that has been changed.
So maybe also to help answer the question, I will give a verse that says the opposite. In Romans 6, verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are under the law? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And, well, I think we're going to study still Romans 8, Romans 6, so wait.
I'll give you one more thing, and we'll move on. James shows us man looking. Romans shows us God looking. The just shall live by faith. It's found three times, I think.
I'm going to put a plug here for Toward the Mark, because this is exactly, I have an article about that verse that is mentioned, the judge shall live by faith, and where it's mentioned in the New Testament in the three epistles. Well, you get Toward the Mark tomorrow, maybe.
It was actually Martin Luther, if I'm correct in saying this, that referred, because he did not have a complete understanding of the book of James. Yeah. So do you know what he referred to it as? The epistle of straw, you see. But I hope later he learned to see that James was looking at works as men see them, and Paul is looking at works as God sees them. So it's from two different points. It's two different perspectives.
You have
and
question?
Hebrews is the other mention of
yes,
that.
Yes, it's Roman, Galatian, Hebrews. But toward the mark.
So there's a follow-up question. It goes, do the fruits of the Spirit count as good works, and what are good works exactly?
Say it one more time.
do the fruit of the spirits also count as good works, and what are good works exactly? I think the fruits of the spirit are also like a result of your faith as well.
Correct.
So they don't, I mean, they are good works, but like it's a result of being in the word.
Correct. Thank you for asking the question. Thank you for answering.
Yep.
If we go back to Romans 3, and just to help us, we've run from these first verses through now into 21, 22, 23. And I just want to help us. You know, we have a scripture in Timothy, rightly dividing the word of God. And it helps us sometimes when we're reading. I know I have this problem, so I'll share it. When I'm reading in the scripture and we just run from one verse to the next, to the next, to the next, all of a sudden we lose track of really the theme, the content, the what is being presented. And I just want to have us pause for a moment. And I just want us, as we come to verse 21, us to realize that now there's all of a sudden a change in presentation, because there's, or a change in theme. There's something new that is being presented. And it's introduced to us by two small words. And sometimes it's those small words that emphasize the greater. And we see the small word, and it says in verse 21, but
now.
Oh, so all of a sudden, wait a moment, as we're reading in the scriptures, let's in our minds just pause and wait a minute. But now, okay, there's a new thought that is going to be presented here. And so he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. What has just been manifested? We just had that all morning. That which is the deeds of the flesh, that man is a fallen creature, fallen, and he is dead in trespasses and sins. He is under the dominating influence of sin in his life. And this comes really as a conclusion in verse 20. Then he says in verse 21, but now. Now I want to tell you something more. I want to tell you something different. And he actually is going to say now here, I want to tell you something much better. Then, and in contrast to everything that has been presented to us so far, now I want to speak of something that comes from God's side. Everything before was of man as a result of him falling into sin. Now, what is going to come from God? What is going to be that which should be that he would bring to the table that would establish righteousness and holiness and bring man back into relationship with himself because he was unable to do so? And this is what we begin now to have presented to us from verse 21.
Just quickly going back to what Brother Tony asked, like, why are these things written, and adding to what Andrew said, that sometimes growing up in the assembly, you lose a little bit this touch, that this is actually talking about us. This is talking about each and every one of us. So when we get to verse 20 that says that now you have full knowledge of sin, we should be looking in the mirror, like that's what the law does. It shows us a mirror, and seeing that this is the state where we found ourselves in. It's very, very easy to talk about America, the situation of the world, whatever. But like the first day at night when it says, let's make this personal, and really see that when we see of the state of sinfulness, that it is actually us. And now when we start going into grace, that this is the grace that God showed to us as in this sinful state.